Welcome to A Design for Living, Big Book OA Intergroup. My name is Nikki and I am a compulsive eater and your meeting leader today. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my recovery, my spiritual path and you for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my recovery, my spiritual path, and especially you. We start this meeting by remembering our common purpose to extend the heart and hand of the OA Fellowship to those who still suffer. Let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Our topic today is Principle 4, Courage. We will read a section of the Big Book, hear from our speakers, and move into an informal guided discussion. Could Nikki please unmute and read the paragraph on page 68? Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Nikki. I'm a compulsive overeater restrictor here in Melbourne, Australia. From page 68 of the Big Book, Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I would now like to introduce our first speaker, Christina, to the group. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in Chile. I want to thank Steph for inviting me for this meeting. It took a lot of courage to come here for me, and that's why I'm here, because I love this principle, and I am really excited to share my story or my experience with the principle and with the program with all of you. I'm very nervous. I'm starting to get calmer as I'm speaking, so because I trust my God, as the reading says. So I do. I didn't 10 years ago. I came to the program 10 years ago. I, of course, came to OA because I was overweight and I needed a solution for that. I think I didn't even imagine what I was going to get getting into these meetings. I just thought something, I needed something different, because all that I have tried before didn't work. I have many years of trying to lose weight and control my food. I sincerely thought my only problem was food. Honestly, I really thought. I remember speaking about myself as somebody that had it all but was overweight. And it's amazing how blind I was, I think, now when I look back. But that's what I thought when I came into these rooms. And I came into the rooms because nothing that I had ever tried ever worked. When I came into these rooms and I started getting into the meetings and reading the literature, I think one of the most important things for me was reading the literature of OA initially. Today, the Big Book, definitely. And it's my book, I love it. But before, it was all the literature that made me feel that I wasn't the only person in the world that thought the way I thought or lived regarding food. Food occupied my whole life and my whole mind. And when I started coming into meetings and speaking with people or listening, no, I wasn't speaking at all. When I started listening to people that was saying they had or they found a solution, something started happening in me. And especially because my thought before coming to these rooms was that I had to take care of it all by myself. Everything, not only my weight. I always thought, I thought that was my only problem, of course. And then afterwards, I realized there were a lot of things about me that explained why I had to look for the solution of food and other stuff other than food too. But when I came into the rooms and listened to people having recovery doing this work, something happened to me. And I don't really know what happened. I say today it was a miracle. This was 11 years ago. But suddenly food went out of my head. Just reading the books, listening to people, and then suddenly I started not thinking more about food and eating okay. After that, that was great for me. That was really a miracle for me. And one day at a time, and just for today, because what happened to me then changed my life completely. But I have been working on that since then because it was just like the first step, right? So I realized I could trust the world, my higher power, however I want to call it, because it didn't exist before. And I came to believe in a higher power because the people in these rooms told me that, you know, I had nothing to lose if I lived as if. And that's what I did at the beginning. And then now I live, or I have experienced what it is to trust in a higher power. And since then, this was 10 years ago, I have never, never again felt alone. This doesn't mean for me that this has been easy. I've been a chronic relapser. I've been actually abstinent just, no, not just, for 1 year, now since February of last year. All my other 9 years in the program, I've been relapsing, never going back to what I was before coming to OA, but I was, you know, one day okay, the other day I wasn't, etc. And I think finally, when I started working with the big book, there was a big difference in the way I worked the steps and some other meetings I've been going into. And I started working the steps, and I did my fourth, fifth, sixth, seven, eight, nine steps. And then I understood that this was a way of living. And I understood that I had to live the 12 steps every day of my life. And this has been great for me. I mean, I really intention every day today thinking not only about what I'm going to eat, which is part of my disease, of course, but also what kind of a person I want to be and what I need to do to be that kind of person. And if it doesn't work, I treat myself gently. And telling this story is very important to me because when Steph asked me to talk about courage, and I started reading a little bit about courage, not only the courage related to the fourth step, which I think has been my biggest experience with courage, but I also relate this to the courage of coming into these rooms and speaking about what really happens to me or what really matters to me. Because before, when I lived in my disease, I never talked about my... I didn't even know about these things, actually. It's not that I never talked about them. I didn't even know them. Reviewing this topic and seeing what courage meant to me in my whole process, I realized I'm so brave. I never realized I was so brave as when reviewing all that I have done since I have come to OA. And the courage to come to meetings first, because that is accepting I have a problem, whatever it is. I never thought I needed help, but I came to these meetings. And then I realized there was this concept of higher power that I could build and I could construct, or I could and that I can rely on, which at the beginning, I think definitely my higher power was the group, the people in the group, which I realized I wasn't alone, that I wasn't the only person in the world that thought the way that I thought, or the way actually I behaved, not only as I thought, but what I did. So the courage to understand and coming to the meetings and realize that, and also the courage behind accepting that I don't have to take care of this by my own, that I'm not alone. That was, I think, that also needs or recall, I don't know the word, but that also needed bravery from me. So I accepted that I needed help. I really thought I didn't need help from anybody. And when I see that, this was 10 years ago, oh my God, I was so self-centered. And I really thought I was the center of the world. So I think that was also a courageous decision to see that I am not the center of the world, and then that I can trust my higher power, which I constructed, and which I call God today. That's okay with me. I love saying God. And, you know, it's, I think it also takes courage to see how different or how much we can change or how much we can grow, I think, because after I discovered my higher power, I was also able to decide that he was going to take care of me, or that he was going to be with me. So I didn't have to do this alone. And as I shared a little a while ago, I've never felt alone since then. In this program, I had my higher power. And then I had to look into myself, inside myself, right? And discover who I really was, because I really thought I was a perfect person, but overweight, right? So then the fourth step makes me look into myself and realize that without the food, because since I was going into all these groups and I just started not thinking much about food, my head was empty because I thought about food all day long. So I had some space to find out who I was. And reading all the questions that you can see in the literature and in the books about to go to get into who you are in the 12-step language, I started realizing who I was, and then realizing, what would I be without all those character defects that I wasn't able to see before, and that now I was gonna have to get rid of them also? So not only the courage to find them, well, I do know where I got it. I think most of that courage came or has been built in these rooms with my higher power. Because maybe the courage that I needed to come to the first meeting meant it was because I trusted, not God then, because God wasn't in my life, but I trusted somebody, and probably that somebody that told me that these meetings could mean something to me was just the way the higher power wanted to manifest to me. I don't know, but somebody told me, go to those meetings. You have nothing to lose. And I have been in these meetings for since I started. I have never stopped coming to meetings. I have relapsed and everything I told you, but I have never not come to meetings. And so I trusted that person, and I went to my first meeting. So just going back to what was just read about all men of faith have courage, and faith has something to do, is trust, right? So I trusted this person, and I came to a meeting, and I didn't even know what I was coming into. So the fourth step, where I decided to look into myself, also was an act of courage, of faith, right? Because doing this, looking into myself and feeling I wasn't alone, was completely different. And working it, of course, with somebody else, right? With my sponsor that I have had many, but with my sponsor then and with the sponsor I have today. So this was completely new for me. And I think all this courage that has been manifested in me, that started growing, has been growing day by day with the things I do in this program. So it's like, it's the faith put in action, right? So it's just going beyond my boundaries, or getting out of my comfort zone. I don't feel that uncomfortable now. I feel very, I'm very excited. That's how I feel now. But the courage I needed to go beyond what I thought was okay, or that I thought was just a problem with my body, and facing the truth about myself, and being responsible about the person I want to be in the future with the help of this wonderful community has been a really great experience to me. I would just like to finish saying that I would have never been able to do this 10 years ago before coming to it. Never, never. My reaction is always to freeze. I used to never talk about myself, about what I felt, about who I was, about who I believed. And now in these rooms, and thank you to this program, of course, the food went away a long time ago. And I just think how wonderful or how brave everybody here in this room is, just trying to be better and trying to be better for others, right? Because that's the reason we're here, for others. So I really appreciate the Steph's invitation. And I really had a lot of organized things to say, which I didn't, but that's fine. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you. Thank you, Christina. That was beautifully timed as well. Thank you so much. I would now like to welcome our second speaker, Michael, to the group. Good morning. Good afternoon, Michael. Take it away.
Thank you. I'm Michael. I'm a grateful abstaining compulsive overeater. And thank you, Christina, for setting the tone for such a lovely meeting to talk about courage. As some of you may know, I've been in the program for 40 years. I came into the program when I was 22 years old. My abstinent date is June 5th, 1986. And, you know, how do you get 39 years of abstinence? Courageously doing one day at a time. That's been my experience. I am excited to talk about courage. You know, when I came into the program, I heard a speaker talk about the big book comes alive. And I love that phraseology. You know, there's this old book that was written 85 years ago, and the big book comes alive. And I would hear speakers, and it would make me excited about the literature and excited about the big book. So if I can share anything today, I hope that excitement about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the design for living and the courage that it takes to do the program of OA is clear. I think for me, if I'm going to talk about courage, I'm going to end up talking also about faith, and I'm going to end up talking about fear. So I'd like to share with you a couple of thoughts, a couple of experiences that I've had with courage, and how I also like to practice the principle of courage in all my affairs, because I know I'm not saying it's easy to be courageous in an OA meeting, but I know I need to do more than just be courageous at an OA meeting. I need to show that courage out in the real world. Takeaway number one, the biggest thing I've ever learned about courage. Courage and faith, for me, is not about jumping from point A to point B. It's about jumping from point A. And I guess I never really thought about that. But when I got that concept, I realized that that's true courage. That's faith, is jumping from a point where you don't know where you're going to land. You know, I asked my sponsor, you know, I don't think I can do this because I have too much fear. And I want that fear to go away because I know people that have courage don't have fear. He said, oh, no, Michael, that's not been my experience. People who are courageous aren't devoid of fear. They have fear and they ask for the strength to move forward and do what they need to do. And that was a big relief to me, that I didn't have to be completely devoid of fear in order to do what I needed to do. And thank goodness the big book backed that up. We read it today. At once, I commenced to outgrow fear. When, Michael? At once. But it says I outgrow it. It doesn't mean that it immediately vanishes. It just says that it starts, I start to outgrow it. I asked my sponsor, well, how do I get courage? He said, well, there's a couple of ways. Number one is to do courageous acts. And as our wonderful speaker, Christina, mentioned, I think there has been nothing more courageous for me than doing the four step. I was one of those people who was too afraid, saying, oh my gosh, you dare not look, and too prideful to say, well, why bother looking? Because I don't need to look at myself. So the courage to move forward and look at myself was a courageous act. The other way to get courage is to ask for it. And I was like, what? Ask for it? He goes, yeah, Michael, you hear about it at every meeting. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Yeah, you can ask your higher power for courage. That's the strength to be able to walk through my fears and do what I need to do. I appreciated also the courage to be able to share who I really am. I think that was one of my biggest fears before coming into OA. If you found out who I really was, not only would you not want to be around me, but you throw me away. What do you do with rotten meat? You throw it out. And deep, deep down inside, I really thought that I was rotten, that I was wrong. And so who would want to show that to anybody? And I really thought that if I showed you who that person was, you would go away. Paradoxically, what a great word. My experience is the more courageous I was to show you who I really was, the more attracted you were to me. Not necessarily in a sexual way, but where you'd go, wow, Michael, I've really gotten to know you and I really love you. I really appreciate you. I really love who you are. And so having the courage to be able to show people who I really am has turned out to be a wonderful gift. I will share with you also kind of some irony. My sponsor said, you know, Michael, if you spend your entire life showing people who you're not because you're afraid that if they find out who you really are, they'll go away, you are spending your entire life having them get to know somebody you're not. And if they do end up liking that person you're not, they really don't like you. So you've actually proven your point. You haven't given them the opportunity to learn who you really are. They like somebody else. So why, and it's a lot of work. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but you know, if I'm a watermelon and I'm working really, really hard to be an apple, because, well, everybody likes apples, don't they? But not everybody likes watermelon. It's a lot of work when you're watermelon to try to be an apple. But all the people who are really looking for watermelon don't get to have watermelon. And so why don't you just be a watermelon, Michael? And the people who really are interested in having watermelon will get to have what they want. And so that really helped me. That gave me the courage to really let people know who I was. I think I always thought that courage had to come, and I think it talks about this in the 12 and 12. Courage has to come with bravado. Like, I'm gonna be brave. I'm gonna have courage. I'm gonna grasp that brass ring and I'm gonna work through this. And the courage that I have found in Overeaters Anonymous comes with the word humility. It's having the humble request to my higher power to say, I'm afraid. I can't do this on my own. But I know that I'm supposed to, as this literature says, please remove my fear and have me be what you would have me be. Please give me the strength. Please give me the courage to move forward from here. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. I have found that working through my four step, some of the fears I had, the literature says they just turn out to be boogeymen. We thought they were, you know, we thought they were like boogeymen in the closet. They're just, they're not there. It's an illusion. So a lot of my fears, they're just not true. I love the phrase, some of us tried to hold on to our old ideas. The idea that I'm rotten, the idea that I'm wrong, the idea that you'll throw me away. And it says we have to let go of those ideas. Absolutely. This idea of, you know, I haven't really talked about what it used to be like. I was 100 pounds overweight. I had a waist of 50. For those of you that live in Australia, I don't know the switch over, that's not the right word. But needless to say, by the time I was 18 years old, I was 100 pounds overweight. And you know what's really frightening? And funny? I was only 10 pounds overweight once. I think it was in the sixth grade. I was only 10 pounds overweight. 6 years later, I was 100 pounds overweight. I thought that food would give me courage. I thought alcohol and drugs would give me courage. But most of the time, I didn't move forward. I didn't go through my fears. I didn't act on what I needed to do. I just ate. As I like to say, I wanted to be temporarily distracted. And so I never really grew up. I just got older. So that's what I love about, I've said it before, it's not your OA birthday, it's your OA rebirthday, because I actually got to grow up in OA. How do I practice the principle of courage in all my affairs? Well, this idea of jumping from point A to point B, it's knowing that you're in a bad job, knowing in your deep heart that you need to quit, and quitting before you have another job in place. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody do that. I'm just telling you that that's something that I had to do. And my sponsor reminded me, it's not jumping from point A to point B, it's jumping from point A. That I will be taken care of. Thank you, Christina, that I have a higher power that I know is going to take care of me. How has that happened? The only analogy I use, and I'm sorry that it's food related, but it's just going to a restaurant that you love and you keep going to it and you have a great meal and you keep going to it and you have a great meal and you keep going to it and you have a great meal, you have faith that when you go to that restaurant, you're going to have a good time. And that was my experience. The more courage and the more I asked my higher power for help and the more I got it, I had the faith that I would be taken care of. So there have been, what's the truth? Two jobs, one that was 4 years long and one that was 17 years long, that I was like, you know what? I think it's God's will that I don't work here anymore. And I left. It's being in a relationship and not knowing where you're going to go, not know what's going to happen to you, being $70,000 in debt and not exactly sure how the debt is going to be paid, but having the faith and the courage that I'll be taken care of. To me, that's practicing the principle of courage in all my affairs. I can't imagine what my life would be like without Overeaters Anonymous. I can't imagine it. 100 pounds overweight by the time I was 18 years old. A waist of 50. I never growing up. I was just waiting for it all to be over. I was just waiting for it all to be over. And so I'm so grateful for the principles of the program and the principle of courage and the principle of faith. And that I can at once commence to outgrow fear. And it also says in the literature, forgive me. I think it's in the 12 and 12. I know that's not a book we study a lot, but it says that no one, who, Michael? No one can be completely devoid of fear. The best thing that we can do is work towards eliminating fear, slowly. I'm bastardizing it terribly, but that's helped me a lot. That it's fear isn't something that I have to like get rid of or swallow all at once. It's something that, commences to fade away, fade away. We were at a meeting earlier this week. Yes, I grow much more from my challenges, my defeats, from my mistakes than I do from my successes. So having the courage to also admit I made a mistake. I'm not a mistake. But I made a mistake. And the things that I did, maybe they were rotten, but that doesn't make me rotten. I love the phraseology, the exact nature of my wrongs. I stole not because I was a thief, I stole because I was afraid. And so that's why I said it's almost impossible to talk about courage without talking about fear and faith. I was afraid. I was a scared little boy. And the program of Overeaters Anonymous and a higher power, often of my non-understanding, has given me the courage, has given me the strength to walk through my fears. What's the best way through a fear? To walk right through it. I want to walk around it. I want to postpone it. I want to like hope it goes away. But no, the best way is through it. And how can I do that? Not through bravado. But with humbly asking for help. And humbly having the courage to ask for help from my fellows as well. Somebody once said this is a self-help program. And I said, oh no, that's not been my experience at all. This is the exact opposite of a self-help program. I must rely on a higher power and I must rely on the goodwill of my friends. And my sponsors to get me through life. Is there anything else about courage I'd like to talk about? You know, I'm 62 years old. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to this world. There's a lot of unrest going on right now. And I have to have the courage to get up every day and accept the things I cannot change and have the courage to change the things I can. And of course, the wisdom to know the difference. And you know, there are things that I can do to change the world. There really are. And this may be OA blasphemy, but the literature tells me that working with other compulsive overeaters and abstaining is great. But at some point, I'm supposed to go out and do more than just work with other compulsive overeaters. And that's where practicing these principles in all my affairs comes in my work, in my relationship. Yes, Nikki, where am I at?
2 minutes. Thank you, Michael.
Perfect. In my relationship with my mom, who's now 85 years old, you know, I used to hear people talking about, oh, my mother or my father, they're sick or they're, you know, whatever. I'm like, well, I'll never have to worry about those things because I won't be around. I won't have to worry about Social Security for those who live in the United States. I'm not going to live to be 65 years old. And now I think, gosh, I could live another 30 years. Wow. So I'm excited. The big book comes alive for me. The OA program comes alive for me. And I hope that I can remain green and growing. Because when you're ripe, you're rotten. What does the fruit do when it's ripe and it's rotten? It falls from the tree. It's done growing. But if I can remain green and growing and having the courage to continue to show you who I really am, this is Michael, watermelon, seeds and all, warts and all. I have found doing an inventory an extremely courageous act, but I can tell you that doing a positive inventory has also been a very courageous act. Is 10 things that I love about myself, 10 physical attributes that I love about myself, 10 people who I know who love me. I have done that courageous act too. 10 physical attributes that you like about yourself. That's an interesting project, believe me. I have great hands. That was on my list that I thought I had very attractive hands. And I've come up with 9 more in the world. So anyways, I think that's about my time. Thank you so much for calling a 12 step on me. And I look forward to hearing from folks about their experience with the principle of courage. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Christina, both of you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope today. 7th tradition. According to our 7th tradition, we are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. As we have now moved to virtual meetings, it is important that we continue to be fully self-supporting. This allows Overeaters Anonymous to continue to carry the message to those who still suffer. You are able to send your donations through our website at www.ad4l.info. For those of you able to see the Zoom chat, the link will also be posted there. Thank you all for your support. It is much appreciated. Next meeting. A reminder that A Design for Living, Big Book OA, is a daily meeting. We are based out of Melbourne, Australia. The recording from today's workshop will be available from our website, where you can also find out about other upcoming events and speakers. Visit our website at www.ad4l.info. Our new monthly speaker series focusing on the principles of the 12 steps will next be held on May the 10th, and the topic will be Principle 5, Integrity. We hope to see you there. In closing, I would like to thank you all for your service in coming here today. By following the 12 steps, attending meetings regularly, and using the OA tools, we are changing our lives. You will find hope and encouragement in Overeaters Anonymous. To the newcomer, we suggest attending at least 6 different meetings to learn the many ways OA can help you. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please remember our commitment to honor each other's anonymity. What you hear here Whom you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Let us all reach out by phone or email to newcomers, returning members, and each other. Together, we get better. To close the meeting, will Hannah B. please unmute and read the promises?
Thank you. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.